Welcome to the Medieval Chronicles 1066 podcast, where we delve into the rich and tumultuous history of the medieval period. Today, we explore the Scottish Wars of Independence, a series of military campaigns fought between Scotland and England in the late 13th and early 14th centuries. These wars were not just battles for territory, but a struggle for national identity, sovereignty, and freedom. Let's embark on this historical journey to understand the roots, key events, and lasting impacts of these wars. Part 1: Origins of Conflict. Our story begins in the late 13th century. The seeds of conflict were sown with the death of the Scottish King Alexander III in 1286. His passing left Scotland without a clear heir, leading to a succession crisis. The primary claimant, Margaret, Maid of Norway, also died, leaving the throne vacant. This power vacuum gave the English King Edward I a chance to exert his influence over Scotland. Edward was invited to arbitrate among the claimants for the Scottish throne, and he chose John Balliol, believing he could control him. Balliol was crowned in 1292, but his reign was marked by Edward's overreach and the Scots' growing resentment. Edward demanded that Balliol pay homage to him and sought to control Scottish affairs directly, undermining Balliol's authority. Tensions culminated in 1296 when Edward invaded Scotland, capturing Berwick and defeating Balliol at the Battle of Dunbar. The town of Berwick suffered a brutal sack, with thousands of its inhabitants killed. This was a clear message of Edward's intentions. Balliol was forced to abdicate, earning the derisive nickname Tomb Tabard, or Empty Coat. Edward declared himself ruler of Scotland and imposed English law and administration. The initial phase of English rule was marked by harsh measures to subjugate the Scots, including the confiscation of lands and the imposition of taxes. This oppressive rule fueled the resentment and resistance that would soon emerge. Part 2: William Wallace and the First War of Independence. Enter William Wallace, one of the most iconic figures in Scottish history. Wallace emerged as a leader of the resistance against English rule. His early life is shrouded in mystery, but it is believed he was a minor noble with a deep sense of justice and patriotism. In 1297, Wallace led a rebellion that culminated in the famous Battle of Stirling Bridge. Wallace and Andrew Murray, another Scottish leader, cleverly used the terrain to their advantage. The narrow bridge over the River Forth limited the number of English troops that could cross at once. The Scots waited until a significant portion of the English forces had crossed before launching their attack. This tactic resulted in a decisive victory, with many English soldiers drowning in the river. This victory was a significant morale boost for the Scots and led to Wallace being appointed Guardian of Scotland. Wallace's leadership was characterized by his guerrilla tactics and his ability to inspire and unite the Scottish clans. He continued to harass English garrisons and disrupt supply lines, keeping the pressure on Edward's forces. However, Wallace's success was short-lived. In 1298, Edward I personally led an army into Scotland. The two forces met at the Battle of Falkirk. Edward's use of longbowmen, combined with his heavy cavalry, proved too much for Wallace's forces. The Scottish Chiltrons, defensive circles of spearmen, were decimated by the arrows. Wallace escaped but was eventually captured in 1305. His trial for treason was a mockery of justice, and he was brutally executed. Wallace was hanged, drawn, and quartered, with his head displayed on London Bridge and his limbs sent to different parts of the country as a warning. Despite his death, Wallace's legacy lived on, inspiring continued resistance against English rule. His martyrdom became a rallying cry for the Scots, and his actions laid the groundwork for future leaders. Part 3: Robert the Bruce and the Second War of Independence. The struggle for Scottish independence continued with Robert the Bruce. Bruce's path to kingship was marked by political maneuvering and violence. In 1306, he murdered his rival John Comyn in a church in Dumfries, a sacrilegious act that shocked many but also demonstrated Bruce's determination to claim the throne. Bruce was crowned King of Scots shortly after, but his early reign was fraught with challenges. Bruce suffered several defeats and had to flee, living as an outlaw. His early campaigns were marked by setbacks, and he was excommunicated for the murder of Comyn. However, Bruce's fortunes changed in 1307 with the death of Edward I. Edward's successor, Edward II, lacked his father's military acumen and focus. Bruce seized this opportunity, waging a guerrilla war that gradually reclaimed Scottish territories. He used hit-and-run tactics, attacking isolated English garrisons and avoiding large-scale confrontations. Bruce's resilience and strategic acumen began to turn the tide. The climax of Bruce's campaign came in 1314 at the Battle of Bannockburn. Against overwhelming odds, Bruce's forces decisively defeated the English army. The battle took place near Stirling, and Bruce's tactical genius played a crucial role. He chose the battleground carefully, using the natural terrain to his advantage. The Scots formed chiltrons that held firm against the English cavalry. Bruce's victory at Bannockburn solidified his control over Scotland and marked a turning point in the wars. It was not just a military triumph, but also a significant psychological victory, boosting Scottish morale and weakening English resolve. The victory demonstrated that the Scots could stand against the might of England and win. Bruce continued to consolidate his power, systematically dismantling English-held castles and fortifications. He also worked to gain diplomatic recognition of his kingship, sending envoys to European courts and negotiating alliances. Part 4: Treaty of Edinburgh-Northampton. Despite the victory at Bannockburn, the struggle for recognition continued. The Scots faced intermittent English invasions, and Bruce worked tirelessly to secure diplomatic recognition of Scottish independence. In 1320, Scottish nobles sent the Declaration of Arbroath to Pope John XXI, asserting Scotland's right to self-determination. The declaration famously stated that the Scots would never submit to English rule and would choose death over enslavement. This document is a cornerstone of Scottish identity and political thought. The Declaration of Arbroath is a powerful testament to the Scots' determination and their appeal to a higher authority for justice. It emphasized that the king's legitimacy depended on his ability to protect the people's freedom and rights. The declaration also highlighted the unity of the Scottish nobles in their support for Bruce. Finally, in 1328, the Treaty of Edinburgh-Northampton was signed, recognizing Scotland's independence and Bruce as its king. This treaty marked the end of the First War of Scottish Independence. The treaty was a significant diplomatic achievement for Bruce, securing peace with England and ensuring that future generations would inherit an independent Scotland. The treaty stipulated that Edward III of England renounce all claims to overlordship of Scotland and recognize Robert the Bruce as the rightful king. It also arranged for the marriage of Bruce's son, David, to Edward's sister, Joan, further solidifying the peace between the two nations. Part 5: Aftermath and Legacy. The end of the wars did not bring immediate peace. Robert the Bruce died in 1329, and his son David too inherited the throne. David was only 5 years old at the time, leading to a period of regency. The Second War of Independence began in 1332 when Edward Balliol, supported by the English, attempted to claim the Scottish throne. Balliol, the son of the former King John Balliol, sought to exploit the power vacuum and the divisions among the Scottish nobility. Despite several battles and ongoing conflicts, the Scots maintained their independence. David too faced numerous challenges during his reign, including being captured by the English in 1346 and held for 11 years. His release was negotiated, but the struggle for power and influence continued. The legacy of the Scottish Wars of Independence is profound. They established a sense of national identity and pride, laying the foundation for the modern Scottish nation. Figures like William Wallace and Robert the Bruce became symbols of resistance and freedom, celebrated in literature, film, and folklore. The wars also influenced political thought, emphasizing the principles of self-determination and sovereignty that continue to resonate today. The Declaration of Arbroath, in particular, is seen as an early assertion of the right to self-governance and has been cited in various contexts, including the American Declaration of Independence. The wars also had a significant impact on the social and economic fabric of Scotland. The devastation wrought by the conflicts led to changes in land ownership and the displacement of populations. However, the resilience of the Scottish people and their ability to rebuild and adapt is a testament to their enduring spirit. Culturally, the wars left an indelible mark on Scottish identity. The stories of heroism, sacrifice, and determination have been passed down through generations, shaping the national consciousness. Monuments, literature, and festivals commemorate the key figures and events of this period, keeping the memory of the struggle for independence alive. Conclusion. The Scottish Wars of Independence were a pivotal period in medieval history, shaping the destiny of Scotland and influencing the broader political landscape of the British Isles. These wars were marked by incredible bravery, strategic genius, and an unwavering desire for freedom. As we reflect on this era, we see the enduring impact of the struggle for independence on Scottish culture and identity. Thank you for joining us on this journey through the Scottish Wars of Independence. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe to our podcast and our YouTube channel, Medieval Chronicles 1066. Stay tuned for more deep dives into medieval history.